First of all, let me say how glad we are to be back on this coast. Although last week, everybody's talking about all this bad weather. I didn't know what y'all was talking about. In California, it was 65 degrees. Nice little sunny time, so I missed the weather. But then again, I like cold weather. But I'm glad that everybody made it safely. And if you're visiting with us, please know you're honored guests. But we were glad to be able to go out and spend a little time with Brandon and his lovely wife and be able to make it back safely. Today, I'm going to begin and probably continue into this afternoon a series of lessons entitled God, the Great Deliverer. Now, one of the things that's a constant theme throughout the whole Bible is how God has the power to deliver. Now, most Old Testament examples give an example of a physical deliverance, but now the New Testament, which we have and abide by today, he focuses more on a spiritual deliverance. So I'll be coming and beginning and using as a springboard 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Then we'll set out in Exodus chapter 14, and then this afternoon we'll be back in Acts chapter 18 as we look at some examples of deliverance. Why is it so important? Well, I think sometimes we are all guilty of just really wondering in our own minds, can God help me? Can God help my situation? Are you the God that you say you are? We know, we read those stories in the Bible that, well, he miraculously got folks out of bad situations or helped them through situations, but what about my situation? And I think sometimes we think that we are a little different from folks like Moses. Sometimes we think that we're a little different than folks like Paul. Because, see, Paul was a faithful Christian and he had his life together. But we still serve the same God who delivers today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse number 8. And it reads, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Paul here lets us know that he was not trying to hide anything from the Corinthians. One of the things that we have to understand that Paul constantly did was he realized that he was in the same boat as everybody else. We're in the same boat as everybody else. What do I mean by that? You know what? Christians have problems too. Christians get bad news too. Christians sometimes run up against situations where they can't turn to the left, they can't turn to the right, they can't go forward, and they really can't even go back without losing something precious. Paul here lets the church at Corinth know that, I want you to know some things. I've been there. So much so that I was pressed out of measure. He was pressed and stressed and had so many things dealing with him, he was literally moved out of place. You ever had a situation like that in your life? Where so much stuff you're dealing with really seems like you moved off your foundation? Paul understands. And then he says, then he had the sentence of death on him. Paul's life was in constant peril. It was in peril among brethren. It was in peril among those who hated the gospel. It was in peril because he preached the gospel. We'll talk about that a little bit this afternoon in Acts chapter 18. But he understood. But notice who gets the credit. And he says this several times, especially to the church of Corinth. He says, also, out of all, the Lord delivered me. So what does the word deliver mean? Let's go with a basic example. It means to be rescued or removed or moved with a situation. Notice I said rescued, removed, or moved with. Because sometimes God delivers this way. The situation doesn't change, but he walks through us through the situation. Sometimes when you believe that God is not there, He's the one walking hand in hand with you through a situation that you're dealing with. So we serve a God who delivers. We serve a God who is as alive today as he was back during the Old Testament times. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to make some examples here, and I kind of touched on this last week because I had the privilege to speak at the 70th Avenue Church of Christ in Oakland, but I touched on this a little bit last week, but I'm going to use it here. And before I leave this passage, after I read it, I'm going to modernize it for us, if you don't mind. Exodus chapter 14. Let us begin at verse number 10. And it reads as such. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore thou hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verse 13 and 14 reads, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have served, seen today, ye shall know more forever. You should, again, know more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 15 reads as such, and the Lord said unto Moses, why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. Why are you crying? Why do we cry so? You know, I said I was going to give you a modern day example, so I'm going to do this. Imagine that it was 2018 now, right? If you can't imagine 2018, imagine yourself back in the nation of Israel after the death angel passed over the night before. So you wake up the next morning and you notice. Go into your oldest child's room and they wake up with a smile on their face. As soon as you step outside to get a breath of fresh air, you hear wailing all over the land. Many folks in Egypt lost their firstborn. This was the 10th plague that God had placed on Pharaoh and Egypt because he refused to let his people go. So you go back in the house and then you hug your child even more. And then someone says, not only is my child gone, if you were an Egyptian, the firstborn of my flock also has died. Because God promised to kill the firstborn of all living things if they were not covered with the blood. So now everybody's rejoicing. On their way, happy-go-lucky, singing all kind of beautiful songs. Because Exodus chapter 15, the whole chapter, is the song of Moses. So they're singing songs. And then day two walks around, and they're walking, and somebody in the crowd, because you know how we are as people, says, you know what? I don't mean to start no problems or nothing. I ain't trying to start nothing. But where are we going? Somebody says, and responds in the crowd and says this, you know what? I don't know where we're going. Moses said something about a promised land or something. So then somebody says, a little bit further down the road, I'm getting a little hungry, a little thirsty, I'm getting a little parched. It's dry air. It's really causing me to thirst. So then the grumbling starts. So then they keep walking, wondering where they're going. No GPS, no map. And then what happens in the mind is, you know how stuff starts in the mind? People start wondering about this man named Moses. He done brought us out here to die in the wilderness. I told you. You know how people do when stuff starts going bad? Y'all should have listened to me because I told you it wasn't going to work. He done brought us out here, ain't got no map nowhere. And then somebody at the front of the line says, how are we going to get across this water? The person in the back of the line says, they know I can't swim. Maybe there's a boat up there. The person at the front of the line says, no boat. person in the back of the line saying, it's bad enough, but what's that I hear coming up behind me? Sounds like chariots. See, from a distance, looks like Pharaoh and his army. So now folks really start doubting. I told you about this character named Moses. I didn't believe him the first time. I told him he was full of it. He done brought us out here to this big old sea, no boat. He don't know where he's going. He's lost, and we lost because he's a typical man. Maybe he should have stopped and asked for directions. You know how we do sometimes. This is the scene that's going on in Exodus chapter 14. But God asked Moses one question. First of all, why are you crying out to me? So the question I'm asking us this morning is, why do we cry out when God has proven time and time again that he can and will deliver us? Why do we cry out so? Because we're just like these folks in Israel. When it comes up against something, and we can't go forward, we can't go backwards to the north and south with both mountains and deserts, so they knew that. So why in the world, realizing they had just experienced and seen and been eyewitnesses of 10 miraculous plagues, why would they be worried about God delivering them this time? Why do we worry so? See, Paul had realized that it was not him who delivered, it was God. We must come to realize that we must not panic, we must not doubt, but trust God who delivers us out of all our trials. This is the message that Paul was trying to get across in 2 Corinthians. This is the message that God is trying to get across in Exodus chapter 14. But he started with Moses. Why do we doubt so? We serve a God who promised to be with us, promised to have an intimate relationship with us. Do we really understand what it means when Christ says, walk with me? Can we grasp that concept of what it means to walk with Jesus? He's not just somebody else. He is God walking with us, wanting a relationship with us, worrying about what we worry about, wanting to make sure we're taken care of, wanting to make sure that nothing harms us. Why do we fret so? So this is what Moses asked. And sometimes we just have bad days, don't we? You ever had days like that when you just want to throw up your hands and start over? If you can get back in the bed or under the bed in some situation, you'd be all right. So I got some examples here in my lesson. You know I like to keep it kind of light. You know you're having a bad day when you go to work and your boss says, don't even bother taking off your coat. That's not going to end pretty. You know you have a bad day, having a bad day when you jump out of bed and miss the floor. You know you're having a bad day when you turn on the news and all you see is people running out of the city you live in. You know you have a bad day when you accidentally get stuck on the highway and it's behind, your home gets stuck and you're behind a group of Hell's Angels. You know it's a bad day. We all have bad days, but God never wants us to panic. Why do we doubt so? When we doubt, it really shows that we have lost faith. That's what it really boils down to. But some people say, I can't help but to doubt and worry. But let's put it out what it really is. It is a lack of faith in God. He never wants us to worry. But why do we do so and fret so? Worry about anything. But we try to say that our situation is different than Paul's. We try to say that our situation is different from the nation of Israel because you know what? They didn't have the problems. What difference does it make to God? Can he not handle anything that we deal with? And sometimes, lessons like this, I'm the first one to get a reality check because sometimes that thing called worry eats at your mind. Doubt creeps in and you start to wonder, first of all, are you going to make it through it? Second of all, is God really real? Does he really mean what he says? And he asked us the same thing. Why are you crying out to me? Why do we cry out to him? Israel's failed sense of trust in God, who had always proven himself faithful, caused them much unnecessary pain and fear. And it causes the same thing for us today. You ever been through a situation in your life, and then you had a chance to reflect back on it, and you really honestly say, why was I so worried? What was I so stressed about? What was my problem? God is saying the same thing today. He's telling Moses this, and he speaks to the leader first. Why? Because if the leaders lose hope, what do you think the followers going to do? So if you're in a leadership situation in your life, in the church or wherever, the one thing you cannot do is lose hope. Because it's contagious. So he speaks to Moses first, and he says, why are you crying out to me? Tell these folks to go forward. Straight ahead. What were they going to go straight ahead to? Remember now they're up against it. Remember now all they see in front of them is water. Remember now that many of them was probably like me, maybe couldn't swim. It definitely not across the sea. We're not talking about a little ford or creek. We're talking about the Red Sea, which is miles long. And Moses says the place we're supposed to go is on the other side. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? But then that's also how God tests our faith today. Oftentimes in our walk, he brings us into situations where we ourselves can't see a way out. Where we ourselves know that if it's up to me, I'm a goner. If it's up to me, I'm going to drown. May as well, you know, maybe they took my philosophy on swimming. I told somebody I can probably tread. I'm pretty tall. So if I get anything above my head, I got two options. I can tread the best I can, or I can save my energy to sit on the bottom and wait for somebody to come get me. Maybe somebody had that strategy in their mindset. But God delivered. How did he deliver them? One of the most miraculous things you've ever seen in your life. Go with me down to verse 29 of Moses, the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And I'll bring this lesson in for Atlanta. It won't give us too much today. And this afternoon, we're going to spend some time in Acts chapter 18 to show how we are to act when God delivers us. Then it says this, verse 29, it says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the middle of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did unto the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed, and his servant Moses. Now picture this. You at Lake Tillery. Let's use some very normal, modern examples. Nowhere across, and all of a sudden, the waters part. Some of us live on Tillery or Baton, wherever you live. Can you imagine looking out on your deck, if you live close to there, and you seeing a dry highway completely through Lake Tillery? Now, I ain't talking about a muddy one when the water gets down during the summer. I'm talking about a dry highway. And I ain't talking about a situation where the water just goes down. Water's walled up on both sides. What would you think? What would you think? Something that's totally against nature. Totally against nature. But it also shows that God himself is in control of nature too. So why do we act like God can't control things that we're suffering naturally? Things like illness, sickness, disease, stress. It's the same God who walled the water up who can help us if he chooses. But remember I said earlier, deliverance is he delivers in two ways. Sometimes he chooses to remove us from that situation, and sometimes he walks with us through situations. Either way, God is the deliverer. Now, can you imagine that? And in closing, think about this. After, just so that we know that he delivers, just so you know that it was not an apparition, just so you know it was not a fluke event, after the last Israelite crossed over, God closed the waters back on Pharaoh and his army. Do you know that still today in 2018, you can go through the benefits of technology and ultrasound and see chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea, still there, wheels made during that time period, and there's even one special chariot they found recently that nobody but royalty rode, just in case you think God's playing, just in case you think this is a fairy tale that we're reading. Church, we serve a great God who delivers. We serve a God that if we learn to trust him in all situations, no doubt about it, he is more than able to deliver. Why are we crying? Or put it in plain English terms, what you crying for? What you crying for? It is not like you don't serve a God who loves you. It's not like you serve a God whose power is limited. It's not like you don't serve a God who cares so much that the very hairs on our head are numbered. Here he did this for Israel. He didn't have to. If God wanted to, think about this now. If God wanted to, could he not have slowed Pharaoh's army up on his own? If God had wanted to, he could have told Moses to go another way. Because several miles north, they could cross over into dry land and go down the other side that way. So why did he bring them to this point? Why did he do that? What was he trying to show Israel? That it's God who delivers us. So don't run from your trials and tribulations in life. Maybe, just maybe, we ought to be able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The last thing we want to do when fear and panic set in is to stand still. We run around like chickens with our heads cut off. And maybe not physically, but what's going on in our thought life? We hear that and everywhere. Oh my, woe is me. All kind of stuff we say to ourselves. How I know? Because I said it and still say it from time to time myself. If you're honest with yourself. Why are we doing that? Sometimes God says, shut up, Curtis. Stand still and see that I'm still in charge. He's telling you the same thing. Maybe, just maybe, and I kind of just go sometimes and by study, sometimes trust God's providence, and maybe, some maybe, somebody need to hear that this morning who's worried about so many things. And sometimes one of the things about stress and worry is, doesn't matter what your mouth say, your body going to tell otherwise. How do I know that? In our society, stress is associated with the most deaths in our society. You may say, no, it's not as heart attack. But what causes the most heart attacks? Stress. So what are you stressed about today? Is it something that you can give to the Lord? But guess what? God expects us to do our part too. Because he said this to Moses. What's that you got in your hand? The staff. Now, this is the same staff that he threw on the ground and turned into a snake. So what in the world was Moses crying out for and realizing that he had the power of God with him all along? Do you realize that God has given each and every person who's named the name of Christ, at least spiritually or symbolically, the same staff that he's working through? So sometimes stress causes us to forget what God has already put in us. He's put it in us through letting us know, just like Paul says, God delivered us then, he delivers today, and yet he will yet deliver us. So I trust in the Lord. What about us today? What about us today? If you're a Christian, and you've been doubting the fact that God cares for you, what you crying for? If you are a Christian, and maybe, just maybe, them last problems that you dealt with, you was on top of the mountain like Elijah, but this one got you hiding in a cave. He's saying, what are you crying out for? Maybe, just maybe, you are outside the body of Christ today and you want some peace. Because God says what? In Exodus chapter 14, he says, hold your peace. Sometimes when trouble hits and trials and tribulations, you just need to stand still and hold your peace. Stop the mind from running by allowing scripture to calm and soothe your nerves. Stop looking as if God doesn't care about you. And sometimes looking back. Because the same God who delivered them out of Egypt, where they had been praying and begging God for some 400 years, was the same God that was going to deliver them this time. It'll be the same God, even with that disobedience, that walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you understand that it was probably about 2 days' journey from where they camped to the promised land? 40 years. Not 4 days. 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. If all they had done trust God, in 48 hours they'd have been in the promised land. But they weren't ready because they doubted God. But then guess what? In the wilderness, he fed them with manna. Do you know the word manna itself means what is it? They ate what is it every day. It wasn't them. We don't see anybody out there that went to Walmart to go to get this sweet bread. Nobody cut on no ovens and cooked it. They got up in the morning and it was there for them. And then when they started to cry, they needed some meat. You know how we do. We like that bird. Through a strong wind, east wind, God sent them quails. And I know we got hunting season right now, but I don't see not one gun slingshot in the midst. These birds just drop out of the air because God willed it. Now, wouldn't it be great, Lewis, since you like the rabbit hunt, rabbit come up to the foot of your foot and just drop dead? No need for dog, no need to walk. You just come out, stand in the woods, and the rabbit drop dead before you. Boy, that's talking about. For those who fish, wouldn't it be great, instead of figuring out where the fish biting, just to put your boat on the water and fish start jumping in your boat? And then you say, enough. I got enough. My boat's about to sink. I'm going to go in, come back out the next day, it does the same thing. This is the God that we serve. So why are we crying? What you crying for? It's time to dry up your tears, because you've seen time and time again through Scripture that God is a great deliverer. Whatever your situation is, even if you don't see your way out of it, understand that God will be with you through it. He'll hold your hand no matter what. He was with Israel before them, and he was also with them after them. Because after they crossed this Red Sea, your Bible and mine says he was a cloud by day and a pillar by night. When it got hot, he made sure it didn't get too hot. When it got cold, it made sure it didn't get too cold. We serve the same God today. Trust it. Now this afternoon, we're going to be back in Acts chapter 18, where Paul is up against some stuff. And Paul is afraid. Same Paul who said God delivers us is just like us. That's why we're looking at it. Because we're on mountaintop sometimes, and sometimes we're not. Paul was afraid. If he wasn't afraid, God would have not told him in Acts 18, fear not. Do not hold your peace. Fear not, for I am with thee. They ain't going to do no harm to you. And besides that, I got many people in this area. Sometimes when you think you're going through it and you're the only one with this problem, stop telling yourself that lie. That's the lie that Satan tells you. You're the only one with problems. You're the only one dealing with that situation. Now, what that does is it makes that problem turn into a monster in our thought life and emotional life. You're not by yourself. There's nothing new under the sun, number one. And number two is if you really trust God, he's right there with you. He's there with you. So trust it. What are we crying for? What must we do to be saved? Must we hear the gospel? Believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That same baptism symbolically that Israel went through when the walls of water was up, the same thing that God causes us to be delivered by today, the watery grave of baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. But guess what? Then the problems really start. But guess what you also have now? You have an advocate. Who says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there's no temptation unto man, which is able pretty much, if God is bigger than you, that God will not provide a way of escape. That way of escape is God delivering you. That's what it is. So if you're tempted or tried, there's nothing that you can't handle with God's help, and also that he's promised to provide a way for us to deal with it. The question is, are we going to take that exit ramp? That's the question. And if you're a Christian and forgotten that God is a great deliverer like we do from time to time, I said we're going to study this afternoon. Paul, in Acts chapter 18, realized that all we have to do is repent and return. Because just like everything else, if God says do not worry about anything, if we worry about something, is that sin? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, it is. You can call it what you want to. But if God says not to do it and we do it, that's transgression of the law. Don't worry. God's got your back. He always has and always will. You didn't do anything to get you out of that last situation. It was God. So don't puff your chest out like it's me and that. That's the problem many of us today. It's God who promised to deliver us. All we have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer. We ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of...